geez, they suddenly started the show without me even knowing.
I know. And there's a storm brewing outside.
Yeah.
But there really is a storm brewing outside.
Listen, it's the best feeling in the world to either go to sleep in the rain or wake up in the rain. Mm. I love it. How are you?
Me too. No, I'm great. She's like, my daughter's just finished her first run of exams. She's grade 4, so she wrote exams for the first time. It's so weird to see this little 10-year-old just doing 10 writing exams, studying for exams. And my wife has been such a trooper, helping her and stuff. But when they go through it at night, and I'm looking after my lighty in the lounge, and I hear these questions, it's ridiculous.
What they're learning at school?
Yeah, I mean, it's grade 4, age 10. Learning about the planets. Learning about
this is like a fucking zoo this morning.
I love
guys.
It. I love it.
Why do you start so quickly? You're having a wee.
Distance of the moon from the earth.
So
10
this
years
the,
old.
This is the kind of stuff she's learning.
Yes. No, it's like, it's insane.
I don't know that we were as clever when we were at school.
I don't think so.
I think we used to, you know, I remember us doing like algebra and trigonometry and that kind of stuff in high school. But I don't know that they taught us useful stuff a lot of the time. And when I see what kids are learning now, because there's a tendency, you always think, oh, no, they're definitely getting stupider. Okay. Mm-hmm. And they've been measuring American kids, for example, in their basically they look for reading, writing, and arithmetic. Yeah, and they've figured out that American kids are, by and large, a bit more doof now than they were before.
I'm not going to comment on that.
But do you think South Africans, our kids are getting smarter?
I really do. I really do. You know, I think the curriculum is kind of, you know, if it hadn't caught up to the rest of the world that time, I mean, look what comes out of South Africa, you know, as in like the brains.
Yeah.
The brains trust that this come out of South Africa, not just Elon Musk. There's so many more examples.
We're going to claim him whether he wants to be claimed.
100%. I think secretly he does. I think secretly he does. You know, once you have that South African blood in you, I'm sorry, it's there for life kind of thing. You know, you can feel how you want to feel about things in South Africa, whatever. But I think, you know, I tour a lot. I've just been to Australia and New Zealand.
How was that?
And London. And that was great. And the night always starts the same.
Yeah.
You get to this venue and there's a couple of thousand people. And they, you know, that for those initial conversations are, Khanamir, I got black. You know, it must be terrible. I'm like going,
it's actually fantastic.
And then at the end of the night,
yeah.
I'm generalizing that, but I don't mean to do that. But at the end of the night, because everyone leaves for their own reason. But at the end of the night, you've got these people coming to you and going, oh, man, let's miss that Africa.
Yeah.
Wow, we missed that place.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's just that culture.
Let me ask you this question and pitch in if you've got a strong thought on this either way, Rory, because I don't care if someone leaves South Africa and they decide to come back. I don't make any judgment. Mm. It's like you can move anywhere in the world at any time. You go wherever you like.
Yes.
Whatever place makes you happy, you go there. But there seem to be a lot of people who are very worried about what other people will think of them if they come back.
Yeah, it's kind of like me moving to Cape Town for 3 years and then coming back.
on a much smaller scale, right?
Why did you come back on a much smaller scale? You're right, but I don't think people should judge. I mean, everyone leads their own lives, you know. Everyone's affected by different things. And coming back to South Africa is not an embarrassing thing to do. I think it's just like an amazing thing, you know. Imagine moving to a different country and not seeing your grandkids or the grandkids not seeing the grandparents.
So yeah, I often
– that must be weird.
I hear stories about like the older people who've stayed here. Probably because they can't go anywhere, right?
And they don't qualify or
– Yeah, and then they want to like figure out how things are going with their grandkids. They have to hop on a Zoom call or a Skype or a whatever. Microsoft Teams, God forbid. Can you imagine? Like, I'm just going to get on a Microsoft Teams call.
Love you.
And you see them maybe, if you're lucky, once or twice in your old age, which is terrible.
No, it can't be healthy. It really can't be healthy. And I really feel sorry for those people. I really do. And I know quite a few of them. And they go, yes, we haven't seen our grand. They live in America.
Yeah.
They talk American now.
Yeah.
It's so weird. You know, you were at their birth. and you were in their nourishing years, and then it was gone. You know, so sorry.
All right,
Debbie Downer this morning.
But... Well, no, before you say sorry, let's just talk. There's this clip going around. Have you got that clip of Kurt's song? Because this is something that I saw on the internet when I knew you were coming in. You'll love this. Take a look. You're not even bothered by it because you've seen so much.
No. I first of all, I'd like to thank my marketing team. Them, the public.
Of course, but dude, so this
marketing team.
But this song has got a life of its own. And I mean, you've produced and written some excellent songs, and people know them and people love them. And I don't have to kiss your ass because you already know, and the bank balance shows it. But and it's also why you've got sellout shows wherever you go. And that's over a career of many years. It's a tremendous record. How do you get a song that sticks in people's, this earworm stuff? Because that's what this is. It's an earworm song. I can hear it now.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is Hop Hop Spinnekop, right?
Yeah, Hop Hop Spinnekop. So, Aaron, we wrote it about a year and a half ago. And you know, when this happened now, yeah, but it's only 2 weeks old.
Yeah.
Hop Hop Spinnekop.
And look at it already.
Was released on 8th of November.
Jeez.
So it's only 2.5 weeks old. And
phenomenal.
Aaron's reminded me, Aaron's is from Sony Select, who I've been with for 27 years. It's one thing about me. If I'm a very loyal guy. I've had the same car sponsor for 15 years. I've had been the same record company for 27, 28 years. Because I just, you know, if it works, it works, you know. And
also you build a solid relationship with those people and it just gets better.
And it's symbiotic. It's not parasitic, you know. If you just sit back and you release a song and you wait for them to do everything or vice versa, it's never going to work, you know. It's got to be a team effort. And I got a great team. And it reminded me that Macy,
yeah,
my first, it wasn't viral because it didn't exist in those days, viral, but my first like hit is a quarter century old.
Wow.
And then I came with this. So it's like the weirdest feeling in the world for this to happen. I mean, the stats on this song in 2 weeks, they sent me the stats yesterday, Sony Music. So it gets viewed like that clip of that. You know, that song clip gets used to make different videos all the time. You know how TikTok and Instagram and Facebook work. It's been used. It gets viewed 1.1 million times per day on average.
Jeez.
And it's standing now from last Monday on 29 million views.
That's incredible.
That is why everyone that walks here goes, oh, it's like, I'll give you a word. And then it's the funniest thing. The Oaks would crap me out, like the matrix and the student. They go, we're writing exams. We can't study. Our brains are fried. And they go there, Viskandinal Spinnekop in. And then the ones that moan, go, oh, we're good. What have you done now? Oh, the crappiest song ever. Their buddies say, you're going to be singing with him.
Exactly.
You can say what you want, though.
So how does that song happen? Was it just a throwaway thing and you decided, like, well, hold on to this. There might be something there.
And nothing goes to waste, and nothing's ever thrown away with me. I think there's different ideas born at different times. There could be a verse born at a certain time, a chorus, a mid-eight, a bridge. It all depends, you know. So a lot of times, and we've spoken about this before, I wake up with something in my mind. Yeah. Either it's a melody or an idea or whatever. And
thank
I actually,
God for phones, because you can record that there and there.
And I do, and I have so many little clips on my phone
of
me 3 o'clock in the morning going, and then my wife wake up, what are you doing? I'm like, baby, I'm just I've got this thing in my head. I've got to sing it into the phone. And that happened with this song. You know, I actually watched, you're gonna laugh now. Remember Wednesday, the Netflix?
Yeah.
Wednesday was a Addams Family
spin-off,
and the daughter's Wednesday, and she goes to the school. And they had this party, And she had a dance that went viral. She used her hands.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
Like a really cool dance. And I watched it. I went to bed. And a couple of nights later, I woke up and I went, oh, man, I want to do something like that. I've done different things music-wise, but I need to devise a – and I said, it looks like a spider hopping to me. And I went, hop, hop, spinnacle. And I sent it to my record company. I said, we've got to write this song. Then we get together twice a year, myself and a guy called Adams Kleinans.
Yeah.
A producer sometimes. Love it. Love it. Great idea. Thank you. We get together twice a year and we hash out ideas. And I always come with, that's one thing about me, which other artists must learn. They'll go, like Select's got like 30 or 40 artists, and so has the other record companies. And always go, yeah, but why does Kurt have those hits? Why does Kurt? And they go, because he brings the concepts to us.
Right.
And we write them.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got them built into my body. There's a melody thing that I don't know. I can't explain. I'm not going to try and explain. Maybe it's all the different kinds of music my parents made me listen to when I was younger. Yeah. From Eagles to Charlie Pride to ABBA, whatever it is, that's built into my body.
Cool.
So I've got these melodies that just twirl around in my brain the whole time, and I come with catchy melodies and catchy little topics. Okay, hop hop spinner corpse, not brain surgery.
No, but you know what? Also, it doesn't have to be. And it doesn't frankly, have to be. I mean, I think that people get caught up in how complex a piece of music is, and the, you know, people intellectualize this stuff.
Yeah.
But actually, you're just creating a feeling for people. And sometimes that feeling is frivolous and silly. I mean, you know about this when you're making your videos, the stuff that catches on sometimes.
Yeah.
One of the ones I watched from you was like this funny joke you made about Donald Trump, like an orange pumpkins around the US election.
Yes.
Sometimes people don't want to have to think hard. You know, it's the same reason in this country that soap operas are a very popular form of TV. People love soap operas because it gives them an escape from their own life, own world. They can relax. They can just thoughtlessly go into something and just be a bit of a zombie for a while.
So that escape is so important.
Yeah, and I do think it's brilliant this time around also because of the timing. Like, this is a holiday song, so you know it's going to be played everywhere.
It's also just, and I really apologize for this. I really, really do.
You don't have to apologize.
To all the matrix and the students, and that was released as they're writing their final exams. So you must know, when they get bored, they're going to go to TikTok and go, oh, what is it, you know? Right, I'm going to go. They're going to send it to their friends. And it was meant just for fun, you know? And if you listen to the words, everyone goes, yeah, my, yes, who moeilik is it om feed later? How difficult is it to write four lines?
Yeah.
And you've got a whole song. It's not just four lines. Listen to it very carefully.
Oh, please. I mean, Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA is one chord the whole way through the song.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah, yeah.
Just one.
Yeah.
It's one.
Yeah.
And everybody goes, oh, Bruce Springsteen is such a brilliant. And he is.
Yeah, yeah.
But he also wrote some songs that are very simple, and sometimes those are the most popular ones.
Yeah.
You mentioned Macy just now, but I went to Kurt's show the last time he was in Pretoria because we had you on my show.
Yeah.
And you said to me very kindly, why don't you come this Saturday to a show of mine? And I'd never been there before. And I thought, lekker, let's go. Went with a bunch of mates. We had such a fun time.
Guess what I'm seeing Saturday?
Same place.
But still.
You're joking. So now I'm going to have to come again.
I'm seeing you there Saturday. And it's the first time I've been off for 2 weeks because I've had my brother's daughter's wedding.
Okay.
My godson's 30th. My daughter's 10th birthday on the 10th, which is her crown birthday.
Yes.
So I've just been chilling. And now the storm starts.
Okay.
So Saturday is the first day that I'm actually doing Hop Hop Spinner Corp to a live party crowd.
Okay. So Kurt, let's just talk about your plans for December because we were talking to Cindy earlier about her having a nice relaxing time going away overseas. For you, this is like crunch time. You get into planes and cars and buckies and buses and you find yourself doing like three shows a day sometimes.
Yeah.
What's the most number of shows you've done in one day?
Well, some you're only performing one song at a corporate and then going into a half an hour show and then into a full show. So you could do three or four shows a day.
That's phenomenal.
But you must remember sometimes, like in December last year, I would be performing in Namibia, okay, in Swakopmund.
Yeah.
And I do Swakopmund, but I'd come from Mossel Bay. So Mossel Bay, I do a show the night before. Mossel Bay, George to Cape Town, fly to Swakopmund, do Swakopmund, finish that, fly in a light aircraft that some farmer organized from Swakopmund to Venter, because it's the only earliest flight out, to catch a plane to Cape Town, to fly back to Mossel Bay to do another show. It's that kind of vibe. But you know what? I love it.
Do you love it?
I absolutely love it. And that you said to Rory Nana, I tell you, it's probably my favorite thing to do in the world is get in a car.
Yeah.
If you've got time and you've got to make time for it and travel this country. There are so many. How many times have I not booked an Airbnb or a hotel? I'm just gone, you know what? I'm not even going to book. Mm. When I arrive at a place, I know there's going to be a combination. Yes. Yeah. Good things happen to good people.
Like Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem. You're like, 100%. We got to find a place in the barn or whatever.
Yes. So I really think that advice to everyone out there from you is brilliant.
Okay, so you have been, I mean, you should actually be a tour guide because you could do this with your eyes closed. Mm. You've been to every small town in South Africa too. You probably know places that I've never even heard of.
Yeah.
Have you discovered any real gems in your travel and any really cuck places that you don't want to go back to again? And I know you're a nice human being. You're not going to say cuck things, but there must be some places you think, this is a one horse town. I don't need to come here again.
Yeah, see, Gareth. Okay, so first of all, playing golf in Katu is great.
Katu is in the Northern Cape.
Northern Cape, just after Vryburg, just after Kuruman, on the way to Upington, you get Katu. It's an amazing golf course.
Didn't they have a place where we used to dump our nuclear waste somewhere near there?
No, I'm telling you.
No, there's a place
so much water in Katu.
I'll tell you what. No, there's a place there. I don't know if it's near Katu, but there's a place called Falpits,
okay,
which is also somewhere in the like most desolate part of the Northern Cape. They especially chose it because there's no people there.
Okay,
I don't even think animals live there.
Okay,
I don't know if anything's been there for millions of years, and they sank these huge deep like boreholes that we dropped our spent nuclear waste into during the time that we still had a nuclear facility.
Well, I want to tell you something. Kuruman, which is just before Katu.
That's already quiet.
Okay, wait. Has a very, very famous. If you drive into Kuruman on the left-hand side, it's gated. You can go inside. I think you pay R5 to go inside. And it's a hole, a bottomless, but water.
You're joking. So what?
Yeah, no, it's just no one knows how deep it is.
Oh my God!
You can't even dive to go all. It's known for that. It's this hole in Kuruman. Maybe one of the viewers can help us out here. But it's known for that. They don't know how deep it's, but it's full of fish, like massive carp and barbel, whatever. Yeah. You stand there watching this thing, and you don't know how far it goes. No one knows where that thing ends up.
And it's dark.
And I'm so scared. It's this vulpit of your thing. Yeah. No, but I see interesting places. I'm not going to talk about the bad places.
Okay, tell me about the lekker places you've been to that you love going to. Like when someone books you in Mossel Bay, is that one of your favorite places to go? Where are the best party places in South Africa in December? You would know.
Well, Mossel Bay in December is amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
I've never been, but I know like anyone Afrikaans who's worth their salt in South Africa has gone to like, what is the, there's
Hartenbos.
Yeah. Okay. So Hartenbos is big.
Yeah.
But then there's all the buys. There's Still Buy and Buffles Buy.
Strays Buy.
And
Jeffrey's Buy.
Jeffrey's Buy is also good.
Yeah. There's so many of those places, you know, and I during the year, it's different. It's weird. Like Nelspruit.
Yeah.
You've been to Annie Bos, surely.
No, but it's massive.
You sing there at Annie Bos. On a Friday or Saturday night, there's 50,000 people watching you. This massive,
it's amazing
field of people watching.
And it's English, by the way, and someone says it's the Oog van Kuruman.
You're right.
That's called. Yeah. Robin. Thank you, Robin.
Robin.
So, I mean, those kind of, but you don't mind if it's 50,000 people or if it's 500 people.
No.
Because you put on the same amount of energy and effort for everyone. 100%.
I did a show last night.
Where do you like going? Where were you last night?
No, I did a TV show last night for a channel, and there were 50 people sitting there for a hypnotist show, but it's got a story attached because the hypnotist is Andre, the hilarious hypnotist.
Yes, I've seen him before.
And he was with me in the army. So we were in the entertainment group. So part of my, I did my military training in, I can't remember, Southwest.
Yeah.
In Walvis Bay. And then I went over to Potch. And then I ended up in the entertainment group. I faked an injury so I can go to hospital for an audition.
No.
I did.
I did. I read up about this before Google all this stuff. Story. I read up about knee problems.
Yeah.
And I read up if you got water on the knee, you need an arthroscopy. I'll never forget to this day, and that's sure. many years ago.
Yeah.
And I went to my medic in Potch at artillery because I just wanted to go and sing in the army.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, I think I got water on the knee. And he goes, you might need an arthroscopy. I said, really? Yeah. Okay. So, yep, off to 1 mil. And the entertainment group was 2 kilometers from 1 mil.
Right. Okay,
but now the problem is I had to undergo the operation.
Oh, no.
But you know, where they stick the cameras in your...
Right. They want to look under your patella.
Exactly Decal. That. Oh, right. Exactly that. So I've still got these little scars. And every single winter, I'm reminded that I had an arthroscopy.
No such thing as a free lunch.
But I went for my audition on crutches, and I got into the army, into the entertainment group. And he was my roomie next door, Andre the Hypnotist.
Okay.
And I reminded him last night on his TV show. I reminded him. I said, you're my roomie. He said, no, he knows very well. I said, my wife always jokes, because we had him on the ship last year on one of the cruises.
Yeah.
And my wife always jokes because he says to everyone, he's tried to put me under and he just can't. He says, Kurt's one of those people you can never hypnotize. He tried every method he can. He tried everything. And then you know my wife.
Yes, Gareth. She's magnificent.
She's so terrific. Funny and she's awesome. She goes, are you sure it didn't work? She's to Andre. She's I'm telling you now. But
basically, you've been under.
No. Yeah. She says to him, Andre, I'm telling you now. I think you got Kurt under one night and you said to him, you're going to think you're the greatest singer in South Africa for the rest of your life. That's it. I thought that was so sharp.
That, you know, you made me think of a joke that it was told at some roast. I think the roast of David Hasselhoff.
Yeah.
By Gilbert Gottfried. And he goes, there's this genie on the beach and they kick the lamp and the genie comes out and it's obviously it's David Hasselhoff on the beach. So he goes, can you make Pamela Anderson's vagina tight again? And the genie goes, no, absolutely no, I can't.
Yeah.
1,000 times no, there's no way I could do that. He goes, can you make Baywatch Nights the success that it should have been? And he goes, look, I can do miracles, but even I, that's beyond my powers.
Yeah.
And then eventually it comes out that the genie gives him exactly what you've got. He like puts him under and makes him think he's a great singer. And he travels to Germany and people think he's terrific. And he goes, what a trick. That genie played on that asshole.
Brilliant.
So it's very funny. But that's mean of your wife to come up with that.
So funny. No, she's clever like that. You must remember my wife is not a fan girl. She doesn't sit backstage. No. So not at all. She leads her. She's got a master's in psychology.
Oh.
So she toys with me a little bit, I think.
Yeah, but definitely. Those psychologists do that. They're always assessing you, trying to figure out like whether you, I can see he's not having a great day today. Let me just poke a little find out what's going on.
Those little buttons.
Yeah.
But I've gotten to know.
No.
We've been together for 20 years now, so we have a great time. We just fool around. It's just such fun. So,
does she not go on tour when you're doing all of this?
Every now and then, maybe she'll come. She came with me to Australia and New Zealand because she's never been.
Okay.
I've been like 8 times, and this time she said, let me just go with see what Australia is in, and we had such fun. So every now and then she'd come with me to a festival or whatever. And when she is, and the kids, it's fun, you know, but they don't go and hang around. And
no, because for them, you're just their dad or their husband.
Exactly.
They're not, and I love that. Yeah, yeah.
And
of course,
my friends
keeps you grounded.
My friends, I'm just their friend.
Yeah, correct.
And to count those on one hand is very rare. You know, it's like, I really can't, you know, you're just their friend. You're not this.
That's very special.
Very public
but,
person.
But I have to ask you this because it strikes me that, you know, this is such a busy time for you. And this has been happening now for, as you say, a quarter of a century almost. Do you sometimes feel like it would just be nice to switch off and do what other people do? Because you're in the entertainment business. So am I. We work our hardest when everyone else is on holiday. But do you have a Christmas at home, for example? Are you able to have like your actual family and friends around at any stage during December because you're so busy?
No. So for Christmas, I'd come hell or high water. I don't take bookings from, I think my last year was on the 23rd last year to the 26th, and then my next year was the 27th. So there's that 4-day break of just being with the family and doing normal stuff.
That's lovely.
And helping with Christmas lunch. And we love, I mean, my son asked me, can we decorate the tree today? I can't today, but tomorrow. Now, tomorrow I'm in George. Friday. Tomorrow I'm really in George. But Friday when I fly back, before Friday night, we will decorate the tree. And I want to be there to decorate the tree with him.
Yeah.
I want to be there for those moments, you know. It's like amazing. Like me, if I'm home, to take the kids to school is like such a – I love it completely.
Yeah.
I love waking up at 10 to 6 and going making them coffee and then waking them up.
So there are probably people watching – you saying that now and listening to you and thinking, these are the boring things I have to do every day. But for you, it's like an adventure when you do them, right?
Yeah.
They don't want to go on stage necessarily and do those things. But what do you do for Christmas, Rory? Anything fun?
Also quiet at home.
Family thing.
Family things. Yeah. Eat a lot. Food coma. We spoke about it earlier.
Yeah.
Just eat all day. I wanted to ask you also, you mentioned going to school and dropping kids off. Do other parents like, come, oh, there's good Darren, there's good Darren. Is it like a thing when you try and be like a normal person and you can't be a normal person because Kurt Darren is taking his kids to school and then it's, okay, there's good Darren. Is it?
You know, when you're in the environment where like I am in the place that I stay, it's quite a large estate.
Okay.
But I've been there for 5 years and everyone's kind of used to me.
Okay, good, yeah.
And you have the odd knocking on the door. We stay in like a cul-de-sac. Yeah.
Right.
And that kind of stuff. But I think most people are just normal.
Okay.
And along came the spider.
Now it's changed again.
So hop, hop, span a corp. Now I get to the gate.
This is the problem with success.
Yesterday, and I'm standing. I've got my son with me. I'm visualizing. I've got my son waiting for my daughter to come out of that gate because she's in grade 4. He's in grade 2. And I'm waiting for her, and I hear these three little boys. They've got locked arms. Hop, hop, span it behind me over there.
Man.
But they don't realize I'm standing there. And I look around. They go, I'm like, come on. It's fine. It's fine.
That's so
and then
sweet.
One of the that fathers with a kid in Kate's class, you just like, you could see him ambling up to me. He came up to me and goes, bye, geluk.
Oh.
Very cool. So it's all good stuff. Okay, good. It's not
beautiful.
Like, it's not like,
don't feel harassed.
I always think, you know, the people that use that kind of language on TikTok and whatever and make all these
horrible stuff.
That's a D.
No.
You know, that, no. Or. Axalom.
Oh my gosh.
I always wonder what would happen if they actually do come.
Yeah, no, they don't, but they won't.
Never. But they won't. They'll never, because that is,
I mean,
nameless, faceless.
It's funny. We were talking about this on the show, I think, last week. And the people who are very vocal on social media and they get into arguments on, you know, on X and they're angry about stuff. And these are not people who will ever come up to you in real life and say the things that they would say online.
Never.
And I, for example, I've got into a lot of trouble in the course of my career.
No.
I've said, believe it or not, I've said a couple of things that people maybe didn't like. I've never had anyone come up to me and like actually take me on about something. Most people are super friendly. Some are like, they're not sure if how they should react.
Yeah.
They're not sure how they're those people who kind of watch you you know this, Kurt. They're like, they'll see you in the airport and they'll watch you as you walk across the airport and rather than come.
It's so familiar.
I always say just come up, because I'm always going to be friendly. I'm not going to say to someone, oh, who the fuck are you? You know, it's always going to be nice. And not one in however many years, not one ugly interaction, not one situation where someone came up to me is like, you son of a bitch, I want to tell you something. Not one. And I promise you, I'd tell you if there was.
I've had one. I've had at the car, which is an Oudtshoorn. Walking across the field, going to go do my show at that big tent over there with the big stage. And these two women, you can see the one woman's eager to get to me, the other one's not, kind of thing. And they're sisters. I don't know this. Until the woman said, Letty, sell your foot to him and I can good. He goes, I go, nix for good, Dad. She walked away. I'm like,
oh, wow.
Okay. And I'm like, I don't even know you. You don't even know me.
Yeah.
You don't know what I did last night. It's like the weirdest thing. But you've just decided you don't like Kurt Darren.
Well, that's
you don't like Gareth Cliff. You don't like Rory.
For her, maybe for that woman, whose name we'll never know, which is part of the problem,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Is that she's probably just deeply insecure. For her, that's her story. She can always tell people, "Yeah, ik het film gesê, en sy gesê, I told that
joke. Oh my gosh.
I told him I didn't like it." And it's like, it's now a funny story on our show, but you don't think about her.
No, but do you also have those situations? I'm sure you guys have had that, where they go, I could come up to you and you go,
"Who are you?"
No, you'll go, my friend Mario say, jy was snot dronk met hom verlede naweek. Jy het gebraai, and you were so pissed.
Yeah.
And collapse. And I'm like, who is this guy? They go, yeah, it's my buddy. He says, he's got pissed. I'm like, no.
And you ask details, so you get into, because this happened to me about a year ago. Someone was like, yeah, we were at this party and you were there and you were hammered.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, where was it? They couldn't tell me.
Yeah.
Who would I have known there? No, my mate, but I don't know your mate. And the more questions you ask, the more they realize, like, oh shit, this thing's falling apart.
Yeah.
I wasn't given any important detail. All I remember is that, like, you were terribly drunk. And listen, I'm willing to accept there have been occasions where I've been very, very drunk, but I don't know of anywhere I've been horribly embarrassed. You know? And I would remember them, because you don't forget when you get into those situations. Yes. I mean, you're just getting into this with TikTok, but do you also find people, like, they'll look at you and they're not sure who you are, and then they'll confuse you with someone else. They'll be like, oh, aren't you that Oak from who was it the other day? Someone said to me at the shops or somewhere. They're like, yeah, you're that Oak from the DVA. So I just said, yeah. I'm going to get into a long conversation. So he's like, yeah, what was it? Top billing. I said, no.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want to give you the answer because it's boring.
Yeah.
I want to see your thought process.
It's a little game.
Because now I've got to entertain myself as well. Otherwise, this is going to last 5 minutes. So then he eventually figures out, no, it was a reality show. So he thinks it was Big Brother. So I'm like, no. You're getting warmer.
Yeah.
So now he's like, yeah, you're taking the piss, eh? Are you making fun of me? I'm like, no, I'm not making fun of you. You just can't remember. And I don't know where you watched me.
Yeah.
You could have seen me on a TV talk show. You could have seen me on my own show.
I think we've got to remember sometimes that it must be very daunting for people that they've seen you their whole lives at a show on a TV and they've never really encountered you. It must be very daunting for them to have a conversation.
But you're always going to be nice to those people.
Always. I did that from my beginning days, long before I'd had hits or whatever. I've always been that guy. I've never, ever had a party to the extent of falling down at any function in my life.
Yeah.
I can proudly say, even after a festival, going out, if I'm feeling secure and I'm with people that I'm secure with, I'll go out and I'll have a great. I'm all for having a great time and having fun.
Absolutely,
but life's, I know where my little line is.
Boring, yeah.
I know where my little line is, and I just.
So I remember when I went to Los Angeles once, and because we could talk about, like, fame in a South African context, but you can imagine how it is over there, right? And these guys. That, you know, these big movie stars and so on. I went to the NBA All-Star Game, which was at the Staples Center in LA, and there are all these famous people there. And I remember seeing Jack Nicholson, who's like one of the most famous actors, and particularly, I think, for people my and Kurt's age, this guy was in all the great movies, A Few Good Men,
The Shining,
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, all of that kind of thing. And he's standing there with sunglasses on. And I only realized, like, that week when I was in LA, why these stars all wear sunglasses all the time. It's because of the flashes of the cameras.
Oh, right.
Because, you know, like, it's always going on. They don't get a break. And they're like 1,000 cameras all flashing at once. You're bound to end up with some eye problems. That's what happened to Madiba working in the quarry, right? Mm. The limestone quarry, because the reflection of that white limestone the whole time in your eyes is going to eventually affect you. So I walk up to Jack Nicholson, which took a lot of courage because he's Jack Nicholson. Yeah. And I go up and I put out my hand, and he goes, no photographs and no autographs, please. So Mr. Nicholson, I'm a huge fan.
That was a good impression.
Yeah. Wow. I was going to say, please do it again. Goes, wow.
Very good to meet you. Have a nice day, you know, kind of thing. And I, I'm such a big fan. And you try to make an impression, yeah, but you know he wants to watch the basketball. Yeah, he doesn't give a shit about you. Anyway, so as I'm walking away, one of the guys is there with us, takes a picture. So it's me in the background kind of going like this with Jack Nicholson in the front looking super pissed off because he said no photographs. And I just remember thinking, actually, that was perfect because if Jack Nicholson had been very nice to me, it would have ruined the picture I had of Jack Nicholson in my mind. Yes. If he'd been like, oh, it's so great to meet you and thank you so much for coming to say hi. And I was like, no, it was good that he was just get out of my way.
I'm Jack Nicholson, man.
Yeah, exactly. Look. He was like, you can't handle the, he was that kind of guy. Yeah. You know?
Have you seen Gladiator 2?
No, apparently it's amazing. I can't wait.
Okay.
And I don't say that, I haven't said that about a movie for a long time. Is it hype?
I can't say nothing in case.
Don't spoil the plot. But did
no,
you?
No, no, no. I won't spoil the plot. I just, I didn't enjoy it that much.
The first one was so good. The
first one is so good. And that, I think that's what.
I am Maximus Decimus Meridius.
But Denzel Washington's in this one.
Okay. Well, that's always a plus.
He does this almost overacting baddie kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was in London with Nelson Mandela's 90th birthday.
Sure.
And we were at this
That
function.
Was that big concert that you
saw.
Yeah, the 4664. Yeah.
But the night before, I had gone to go and see Neil Diamond at the O2 Arena. Then I come back to this thing, and it's like, it's crazy. It's just like everyone's there, from Will Smith to everyone, in Hyde Park at this 500-person function before the big concert. Mm. Next day, we had like 80,000 people at the concert.
Sure.
And there was just like a dinner and a... And I see Neil Diamond over there. And I said, I'm going to just go and say, Mr. Diamond, great show, you know? But he's standing with a couple of people.
Yeah.
And I walk over to him and I go, Mr. Diamond, great show. He goes, oh, was I good? Oh. I remember. I said, no, you were great. And I get this look from two people. You know, like a look of, really?
How embarrassing.
Robert De Niro and Denzel Washington. And when you see the movie Gladiator 2, when you see Denzel's performance, please know, I think he practiced that night.
A look of like disdain.
Disdain. Like, I thought, oh, stuff you. Yeah. It was like the weirdest. And I understand, of course, they're major stars.
But how cool that, you know, I mean, you'd seen Neil Diamond the night before, right? And then he's at this thing for a chance. There was a lovely clip circulating on, I think it was Instagram this week. Neil Diamond's now a substantially older man, right? Oh. And they were, I don't know if it was a Kennedy Center honors or a Hall of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or whatever it might have been. But he's standing on the balcony. Did you see this one?
Yes, I think it was at his there's a Neil Diamond show.
Yeah.
Like his massive musical about Neil Diamond's music.
All right.
And
And he gets up in the box and they give him a microphone. And he does Sweet Caroline from the box. And, we've all heard that song a million times. Mm-hmm. I had Catherine on Monday's show. We were talking about how wedding DJs get told not to play that song because it's enough already, you know. We just don't want to hear it anymore. But when he did that there, I suddenly went, you know, damn it, man. Mm-hmm. That is a great song and that is a great singer. And even at his age, to be able to do it, and most of these older singers, when you see them, you're like, you should have maybe stopped 10, 20 years ago. I mean, Springsteen, for example, he did a, which song was it? I think it was Hungry Heart. Mm. And it was just like, I thought, I don't want to remember you like this. Do you ever think about that? Because I mean, you've still got a way
you
to
mean
go.
About me.
No, but
I think a lot of people are thinking like.
No, you've got a long.
Not another one.
Bro. No, Kurt, you got a long way to go, and you're healthy, and you're fit, and your songs are good, and you bring out new stuff all the time. But I look at some of these guys, like poor old Phil Collins, who's got the rheumatoid arthritis or whatever, and I'm just like, dude, you don't need the money. It's
So I really, really do hope we have a very small market compared to. That market,
of course,
and I've done well financially, and I think I've secured my family financially. But you never know what's around the corner.
Of course,
about a couple of years ago, what happened then? So you never know what's going to happen. You nothing is ever for sure.
100%.
You know, anything can happen. And I don't worry about myself anymore. I've had such a great time. I'm still having a great time, but about my family, my wife and my kids, I need them secure.
Yeah.
I need them to have the best life. I need them to have all the possibilities they can. If they want to go and study, I need them to have that. And I think I've secured that, but I want to make double sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm really hoping if I do get to that stage, Gareth, at some stage, and we all get older, if I do get to that stage, I really hope I don't have to go and, you know, do 4 shows a week and, you know, and you sitting up the stairs of the plane.
No, hell no. I do think that what's cool about what you're doing. And by the way, let's be clear about this. The audience is still asking for it.
Yeah.
You know, when Bruce Springsteen says he's doing a concert, it sells out. Oh, yeah. So even at his age, and even if we sit here and miles away in South Africa saying, oh, he's probably too old. I'm saying that.
Yeah.
That is not necessarily true for the people who've bought those tickets. They want to see him. They don't care if, you know, it's in his 80s or in his 40s.
Yeah.
They want to see him and they love his music. And it's also interesting how much of that older stuff is being reintroduced through things like TikTok.
Yes.
To young people. Yeah. I mean, we were talking about this on Monday too. It's like so many of these songs that we grew up with, Kurt, yeah, that are now making it back into people's playlists, yeah, because they're discovering this stuff for the first time on here. That's cool. And even some of your stuff that people don't know you did 25 years ago.
I know, it's
they're
coming
figuring
back
it out now, right? Yeah.
It's so funny. And then they'll do like some skit now, like on one of my songs from then, and they've just discovered the song kind of thing. I watched the whole thing yesterday on TikTok about George Michael. And once you start watching something, that algorithm catches you next to me. And that was fascinating for me again to see how Wham operated in those days and George Michael, the madness in Brazil at their shows and all that kind of stuff. It's fascinating to see, you know. And there's a lot that happened then that doesn't really happen.
Yeah.
Because today is so digital.
Yeah.
There it was very – what happened was caught live kind of thing. And that moment was so big and it wasn't all AI generated, as in like the images and all that kind of stuff, and CGI and whatever. That was it.
It was gritty and real.
And it was beautiful, you know. I think I miss that a bit from that rawness of those kind of shows. And even the way they sang, like sometimes you're very hard on yourself when you go and do live shows and you go, but you're singing for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
You are not going to be as pitch perfect as you are in the studio. You're going to be as best as you can on stage and try and nail it as much as you can. It's not like you're not trying to pass the ball well.
Yes.
You know, you're just doing it.
Yes.
Well, that's where I'm blown away. Just as we're going to criticize people who maybe aren't in their prime singing songs. But I'm blown away by some of these guys who are in their 80s or 90s. I mean, look at Mick Jagger. Look at Steve Tyler.
Sure.
I mean, those guys are not singing easy songs. Yeah. You know, you've done covers of some of these. They are difficult songs. I've seen you do like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised and blown away by the fact that you can still do any of that stuff at that stage. Because I get tired of talking. Yeah. And I do like – I used to do 3 hours and now I'm doing 2. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, this is exhausting. I don't know how you could sing for that long.
Yeah. But when you've got all these people and all these faces in front of you
– you just have to make it happen.
It goes to a different place.
Yeah.
Because – sometimes you'll get to a show and you're so, you know, they don't know what you've done the day before and the day before and the day before and the day before. And you're so tired. I mean, I've had very little sleep after Spinnacle came out because your brain is working overtime, you know.
You can't switch it off.
And you can't switch it off and you, oh, I wonder what the next meme's going to be. You know, you're just like, and you can't switch it off and you think about, geez, what next?
Yeah.
What the hell am I going to bring out next after this? Because I've actually bought an album. It's called 100%, the album.
Yeah.
So I've got all these songs waiting. Kliniek Kaptein Twee, Bos My Course, which I wrote with Danae.
Oh, yeah.
The song. They're all there. They're all released. They're part of the Spinnacle.
So hang on. You can't just breeze past Kaptein Twee. What is this?
It's an ode to Kaptein.
So what have you done?
So we wrote – so Kaptein is 16 years old.
Yeah.
So we decided not to do a remix of Kaptein. Everyone's doing remixes of old songs, or whatever. I didn't want to do that. I said to them, I'll do an ode to Captain. So you can sing the old Captain, even in my new song, Captain, mm-hmm. Captain 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on the album. But you can sing Captain Spani Sailor. Mm-hmm. You can do that. And I'm singing the new words over you. And it's actually an ode to those words.
That's crazy. Magic. Mm. There was a famous love story. I always call it the greatest love story never told, where Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, who was head over heels in love with Ronnie Spector, who ended up marrying Phil Spector, okay. Wall of Sound and all that stuff. She was in a band called, what are they called? The Rock, Ronnie Spector and the, what are they called?
I remember something.
Do you remember their song? Be my little baby.
It's not the Rubettes. Right?
The Ronettes. There we go. So she was in that band, and Brian Wilson was head over heels in love with her, but he was pathologically shy.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't go up to her and tell her, hey, I think you're really beautiful or whatever. So he took the verse of her song, what you're talking about here, that's why I paused it there and wanted to hear more.
Yeah.
Took the verse of her song and made it into the chorus of his. And took the chorus of her song and made it into the verse of his. So if you take Be My Baby.
Yeah.
The night we met, I knew I needed you so. And you overlay it with Don't Worry, Baby. Well, it's been building up inside of me for, oh, I don't know how long. You put the verses over each other. There's a correlation. There's a transposition that happens there. And the same goes with the choruses.
That's amazing.
It's phenomenal. And it's like, gives me goosebumps whenever I hear it.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of thing that you have to really get into music to know.
Yeah.
But I mean, Brian Wilson, and this is why this is so clever, what you're doing with Captain Tweer here. I love that. That's awesome. Because everyone knows that song.
Yeah.
And they want to sing along to that song. But you give them a different kind of substratum, a different scaffolding to sing it on. So that they can take it up a level. And it's you doing something that only a musician can do.
Yeah.
Only a real singer-songwriter can do.
Yeah.
That's bloody fantastic. I love
that. You know what I did with Captain? Because things have developed over the years, and I've written with different people, different producers, whatever. I brought the old team back, myself, Quincy, and Ernst.
Yeah.
We wrote Himmel op Tafelberg.
Yes.
All those songs we wrote together.
Right.
And Quincy, since then retired, went on to other things kind of thing. But I brought him back and my old producer, Robin Kiley, to do Captain Tweer, because I wanted the old team back and I wanted that nostalgia. Mm. So the music's exactly the same but different. But you can sing exactly the chorus of the old Captain. Beautiful. I actually put it in the song with me singing these new words, answering the old chorus.
Oh, shit.
You know, it's actually, it's really, and once people realize that, and at my shows, I ask them to sing the old chorus. And I sing
that's it. Fantastic.
And you see this little light going in the eyes and they're going, yeah, we're part of that song.
That's magical.
And the last line of the chorus is Andy Vattelson, whoa, 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 video and my kind of thing.
That's
know?
Magic, man.
I just have fun. And then Danae and I wrote a song called Bosses My Course.
Yeah, tell me about that.
We just so in love with the bush. And she's been begging me for 4 years to write this. She came up with this theme, Bosses My Course. The bush is my food. It's my soul food. And we've tried for 4 years trying to write this Boss of My Course. And we come back and she goes, and she's not musical anything, but she loves music and she's good with words. And she kind of, and then about 3 months ago, I said, write it with me. And her and I wrote Boss of My Course. And it's track number 2 on the album. And it's a beautiful song. It's the kind of song I can listen to like 5 times in a row.
There are lots of people here saying they absolutely loved Tafelberg. Totally forgot about that. What a great song.
Thank you.
Also, someone says Rory's turn to sing.
Yes, Rory.
now that we have. Yeah. Yeah. And then Vera says, Captain Snafty Lena.
Yeah.
Do you want to do
that? That is a thing going around for a while. I had a thing with Van Plexen.
Oh, yes. Crazy. Okay.
Yeah, and that was a whole Captain Snafty Lena thing. But it was that also went quite viral, my little interview with him. Because he's a character. You know, he's a great person. So, yeah, we... Yeah, they keep me busy, eh? And social media is like, it's like mad now. You'll know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like crazy. You know? It's a whole new world.
It's a whole new world. It keeps you awake at night as well. You start scrolling and looking at things, looking at the comments again, reading. Then your brain's going like this, tick, 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 tick.
You can't get to sleep. No, you can't.
And you know what I just realized for the first time ever. I mean, this is only 2 weeks old. So I'd be out of Wi-Fi somewhere sitting.
Yes.
And then I'm just going to the okay, like a video they made there. There's one of the Haka. Have you seen one of the Haka?
Yeah.
The one of the Springboks. Oh, there's one from Seven Alon. It's so funny. The way they put this hop-off spinnacle with all these things. And I'm going. Yesterday, at the show that I was filming, I'm like, my wife's sitting with me and the kids. I'm like, yes, the signal's terrible in here. And she goes, why? I said, I want to see my stats, but I can't. She goes, my signal's full. And I go, no, so I got nothing. And I'm on I'm not going to say the company, I'm on like a cell phone package of Note.
Yeah, so you can.
Like limitless calls, limitless, it's the red, it's like a limitless thing. I'd run out of data.
Because of so much stuff.
And
going
I'd never
on.
Run out of data in my life.
Yeah,
that's very embarrassing. You shouldn't tell people that.
I've never bought data before because it's like a. Yeah, it's one of those impossible
packages. I don't know how to buy it. How do you buy it?
So did you go on and have to buy some?
My wife did it for me. She said, there you go, yeah. 30 days. I said, 35 days. She said, no, I've never bought it before. I ran out of data because social media is hectic. Eh? Yeah. I've decided just to calm down a bit because now my eyes, I feel
it's crazy. Now. I put a funny photo, well, I think it's funny, on social media. I use this photo always of the Springboks arriving back in 2019 at the World Cup. And Orotembo Airport is full. All the layers are full, full, full. It's a photo that I save and use it for different occasions. So then 2 days ago, I posted and I said, desperate crowds gathering outside Woolworths food to escape the heat of Durban. You must even come in to go, this is Orotembo Airport. Why are you lying to us? Fake news. This is Orotembo Airport.
Oh, come
on. It is so funny. But it keeps me awake because I'm going to read these comments. People going, fake news. It's like, come on, people.
Do you actually get along, Kurt, with the other Afrikaans singers? Because you guys often will trio op some. You'll do, like, there are a lot of these shows where you guys all get together. And I mean, I don't expect, because people used to think that, you know, DJ Fresh and I spent every waking hour with each other. When we were on radio together, and then they would think when they watched Idols that all of us would live in the same house and spend every day around each other, which is obviously not the case. But when you are at these shows, are some of these people like real good mates of yours?
Very, very definitely. I don't think I've got a bad bone with anyone in the industry. It's like we just have fun, you know. And I think all respect what I've done, and I want to tell you something. What really warmed me is the amount of messages I got from fellow artists about the song.
About this hop-up spinnacle.
Yeah. It really warmed my heart completely. Like, artists that were, let's say, you know, you get the charts in Apple Music, and they were number two and I was number one, and they'd go, we're so proud of you. So I'm like, that's what I like to see.
It's not like this. There's not this rivalry and...
You know, in any business,
of course there is,
this doctor wants to be busier than that doctor kind of thing. But I think they all respect what I've done in the industry, and I've always uplifted everyone around me.
Yeah.
Well, and it's good for an artist to have a hit because people go there and they see that and they see the next song, next song, next song, next song. It's like CDs. When CDs were a thing and you had a hit CD or your fellow artist had a hit CD, people walk into CD shops to get their CD and they see your CD next to it.
Yeah.
It's all marketing.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I bring that up is because Congo Chris says here in the comments, the Tencio Don tribute was a thing of beauty. It's good to see so many friends come together for something they truly care about. And that's exactly the example that I'm talking about there is like, there seems to be a really nice camaraderie between a lot
there
of
There really
guys,
is, you know, and when that happened with Tencio, the same is happening with a guy called Jan Blokos now.
Oh, I've heard about this.
He's an amazing, amazing person. Young, early 20s, 20, just turned 25.
Wait, is his surname Blue Cheese?
Blokos.
Blokos. That's the name. He's a DJ. He's a DJ. Okay, Jan Blokos. It's not his real name.
Yeah.
But it's Jean.
Yeah.
But he's going through very hectic.
Oh, shit.
Like, as in extremely hectic. And it's just good to see everyone like corroding around him kind of thing, you know? We bring out a last album kind of thing, and everyone's like taking part, and he's just such. If you meet the guy, he's such a positive person. You can't get out of bed anymore or anything like that. But he's such a positive person, such a amazing, amazing human being, and he kind of makes you believe in life again and the goodness of people, just the way he is, the way he talks about it as well. It's like
Barely Vocal Media says in the comments, Afrikaans is Groot is an exceptional show, even if you're not Afrikaans. They did 9 sold-out shows at the SunBet Arena this year, which is phenomenal. Jeez. And Bitcoin Boot wants to know, if Kurt had to choose between Jack Parrow and Robbie Vessels, who would you collab with?
I love them both. I just did China with Jack Parrow.
Oh, yeah?
In January, we went to sing in China.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty – that's wild.
It was amazing. We sang at this club in China. You know, yeah. We booked to sing this club with Jack Parrow. And it was
– how cool.
It was so cool. And I've worked lots with Robbie as well. So it's kind of – you know, I had a thing the other day at a radio station when they said to me – they walked in at the end of an interview with a tarantula. Like a mess, yeah. The size of my hand.
Why?
On the launch day of Spinnacle.
Oh, that makes sense now.
So this girl walked in and said, because I heard I was scared of spiders, but I'm not really. I grew with spiders, but I'm scared of them. And they put it in my hand. I was like, it's the size of my hand. It's like massive.
Monster.
And the DJ said, okay, I'm going to ask you a question. If you don't answer it, we're going to put the spider on your head.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a thing of me on my TikTok.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to put the spider in your head. I said, what's the question? I said, which singer in South Africa sings the falsest?
Never.
And I was going to say, me.
Yeah.
But I wanted the spider on my head.
Oh.
Because I knew it would work for them. So I just said, no, I'm not going to answer that. And they put the spider on my head. Yeah.
Okay. But you're not frightened of spiders, actually.
No.
I've seen some of those things are enormous.
No, this thing was huge.
And they're actually not – what people don't know is that apparently the daddy long legs, which is nothing.
Yes.
That thing's apparently very, very poisonous.
And the little body of it.
Yeah. Oh, and the tarantula's not.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's crazy. So
if you're going to choose, funny enough, choose the tarantula.
I know.
In case they didn't wear snakes. In case they didn't wear snakes.
Yeah, snakes as well. No, but the camaraderie is fantastic, that's Gareth, right, yeah. Really. It's like an amazing – we don't – funny enough, we don't do what, you know, like you said, no, we don't. I'm not at someone's house every weekend. Sure. It's not that kind of thing. But when you see each other at festivals, it's like amazing. Sure. We get on well, and it's like good. It's good to see someone 3 times a year. They don't they light up your day kind of thing.
Well, you light up our day, and I think the song is going to light up a lot of people's holidays. So thank you for that. Well done. Hop, hop, spin a cup. And, you should name that spider at your house, Kurt, says Azalea.
They know there's a spider at my house.
Yeah.
There's a spider in my movie room.
They like this. The people are paying attention. No, well done. I mean, thank I think you. this is just another it's a good excuse for me to see you again, which I love.
And I love when they say go to the Gareth Cliff Show, I'm like,
thank
I'm
you, man.
They invited me on Zoom. I was like, No, I'm not doing Zoom. I'm flying here to sit here.
Yeah, and thank you for that, dude. Yeah, I really appreciate it. Thank you, gents. What a pleasure to have you here. Have an awesome Wednesday and a happy Christmas if I don't see you before then, because that is just around the corner. Christmas, New Year, all of that stuff. And before you know it, it's going to be 2025. You can follow Rory. Give us all of the deets in case people don't know.
On Instagram, at Rory Mark with a C, and then at Rory Petzer everywhere else, P-E-T-Z-E-R.
Brilliant. And Kurt, I don't have to tell you where to follow Kurt. You know, you're probably already following Kurt. Mm-hmm. But just in case, you can get Hop Up Spinner Corp 2 wherever you get your music.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There it is. Thank you, guys. Thank you. We will see you on Friday. Ciao.